Hello, everyone. Oh, thank you for those interesting facts. While I get set up here, why don't y'all just greet each other for a couple minutes, couple seconds. Go. Meet someone you haven't met before. All right. How's everyone doing today? Good. Hey, I'm actually not as nervous as I thought I would be. Maybe it's all the embarrassing facts that Pastor Paul already shared about me. I was going to come up here and say that my name was actually not Graciela. But I go by Graciela. Nice to meet everyone if I haven't met you yet. I am from California. And like Pastor Paul said, I came out here to help out with this church plant. And I just want to say I love you guys a lot. And I felt so supported when I was preparing this because I got so many different texts and messages from people, and I felt so loved. So let's dive into it. Yes. Actually, let's pray first. Okay. God, I just thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. I thank you for this church and this congregation specifically, that you have a very specific word for them today, God, in preparation for the retreat and also just for the rest of their lives, God, that there's so much in store for each and every person sitting here. I pray that every word that I say, it would be just saturated by your spirit and by your hope and by your love, and that it would just be a fun time today receiving the word. Yeah, and I just pray, yeah, it would just be received. We praise your name, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's flip to our passage today. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you can open up your Bibles. Side note, I took an accent class this past term. I'm really bad at some accents. So what Pastor Paul said was a lie. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to be reading from verse 12. Okay. I'm reading from the ESV. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. So I have a question for you guys. Where do you see yourself in a year? Or in a few years? Or in 10 years? Okay, I'm going to specify that question. Not where, like a physical place, but who do you see yourself to be? Is it just you a year older? Is it just you? Oh, in 5 years, oh, I'm going to be married. I'm going to maybe have kids, not just career wise or your physical situation and circumstance, but you as a person, where do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? Just let that sit. Okay. In this passage, if it says we're being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, then that means that every day we are transforming into his image, right? So every year, every couple of years, we're changing. We're being transformed. Even the fact that I'm standing up here preaching, it is like a proclamation of his transformative power. Okay. Let me just share a little bit. When I was a kid, I don't know if many of you guys know, but I was incredibly painfully shy. Like I have two older siblings and a younger sibling. My older brother's friends used to come up to me and ask me, do you talk? Because I would not say a word. Like, that's how shy I was. I was so insecure, and I had so much fear that I, like, could not speak even a hello to anyone. So they would come up. Oh, they would call back when we had landlines, and I would answer the phone, like, hello. And they're like, oh, my gosh, is this Grace? Can you say that again? Like, you actually have a voice. Okay? That's how intense my shyness was. And now I'm standing up here preaching and taking acting classes and all this stuff, and I have no shame about it. All right. So today, what I want to share is that transformative power of His grace. Okay. No matter where you are in your walk with Christ, there is so much more. Be expectant for so much more. Okay. So let's look at verse 16. I'm going to start here. Verse 16, let's all read it out loud on the count of three. One, two, three. One turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Amen. That is all. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so the veil is removed. This whole passage is talking from Moses and the Israelites back in the Old Testament, right? In Exodus 34, it says, whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. Moses goes to speak with the Lord, comes out, and his face is shining. Can you imagine if we like all went up to the mountain to speak to God and then we come back? And our faces are glowing. But this is the image that we're kind of supposed to have for that verse. Like, we're supposed to shine as His lights, right, in the world. So this is that act of salvation. When we turn to God, that veil is removed. And we are able to see Him face to face. Okay? In the Old Testament, there's all these rules and laws that they had to follow. What are some of the Old Testament laws that you guys can think of that just come to your head? Let's make this interactive. Thou shalt not steal. What else? So commandments, 10 commandments. What else? What can you guys think of? Circumcision. Aren't you so glad we're in the New Testament, New Covenant? Oh, gosh. What else? Yeah, obey mother and father. So there's all these laws, there's all these rules that you had to follow. Circumcision, there's all these regulations even to like the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle, all of these things. It was so specific. And in Exodus 26, it says, the veil shall separate you, the holy place from the most holy, the holy of holies. So that was that veil, that curtain that kept us from entering His presence, God's presence. But when Jesus died and was resurrected, that veil was torn. It says in Matthew 27:51, right? The veil was torn. And because of that, we have access, continual access to His presence, this personal relationship. It's no longer, oh, let's have the high priest go speak to God for us. Moses, go up to the mountain, get His law for us, and come back and tell us what to do. It's no, we now have access to a daily personal relationship with Him. And some of us maybe have never experienced this before. Some of us, this is still like, oh, rules to follow. This is just a religion. I just have to do this step by step. And you're just waiting for heaven. Like, you know you're saved. And you're just kind of waiting around. Oh, yeah, I'll meet God when I get to heaven. Or that glory is too much for me now. Like, I'm a sinful person. But I want to say it's that relationship is for you right here, right now. Okay? I never knew that I had, like, this was possible until I got to New Philly, which was about 5 years ago, okay? I was really backslidden, came to New Philly in 2010 through our sister Jamie Lee, who I knew in uni. And the moment that I came into the church, they were, like, praying for me and saying all these, like, personal things about me and saying how God was after me personally and how much He loved me. And they were calling out very specific things in my life and in my thought process. And I was just like, whoa, I thought this God was, like, this distant God telling me what to do, how I was supposed to live my life and all of this. But it was no longer just a religion. It became a relationship. And I realized you can actually have a you can actually communicate with him. You can talk to him, right? In the New Covenant, New Testament, it says that his sheep hear his voice. We can hear his voice. And so if you've never experienced that, like, ask for it, you know? Do you want to hear his voice? Do you want that personal relationship with him? Okay, verse 17, let's read this all together. Okay, on the count of three, one, two, three. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Everyone say freedom!
Freedom!
Okay, I feel like you can't say the word freedom without like being like, because it's like freedom, you're free, right? What does that mean? What are we free from? Sin, yes. It says, Galatians 5:1, it says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. It's kind of like a double, okay? Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. We are no longer slaves to sin, slaves to the law, but we are free. Christ has set us free, okay? Now, in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I'm going to emphasize three things from this. It says, draw near to the throne of grace, receive mercy, and find grace. Okay. Draw near to the throne of grace. These are active verbs, action. Okay, you have to actually draw near. Don't go backwards fearing his glory. Don't go back thinking, oh, like, I can't change. Okay, but draw near and receive his mercy. Are you holding on to chains that have already been broken? If you believe that first point that I was talking about, that the veil has been removed, that we have access to this grace, we have access to this personal God, then what chains have been broken by Christ that you're still holding on to? Whether it's thought mindsets, whether it's sin, okay? I think some of us, we hold on to these chains and we think like, no, I deserve the chains because I'm a sinner. I need to stay in this place, right? And we hold on to this. But the thing is, we all deserve the chains. We all deserve death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But that's the gift of grace. It's for all who receive grace, right? I think the biggest thing that holds a lot of us back, or just from my personal story, experience, is shame and condemnation. So I want to just touch on this a little bit. So like I said, I was backslidden before I came to New Philly, and lots of eyes. Okay. So I was backslidden, and a lot of what, I didn't grow up in the church, but it was like, okay, our family started going out maybe in like youth groups. I was saved and I knew God as a religion, like, oh, I'm good. I'm going to heaven. Okay. But it was so distant for me that I did not know how to connect that with my life. And so I just partied. I went wild, slept around, whatever. And that was probably the biggest thing. Shame, condemnation in promiscuity was the thing that held me back the most from really receiving his grace. So what brought me hope? Okay, I turned from Christ at the end of uni, went off to South America, just went fully divulged in that, like had no more morals. I just didn't care anymore. I had pretty much given up on any type of Christian walk. Okay, and then this is where some of you guys know I've shared, like, I almost died when I was in Chile. And he completely just saved me. So it was carbon monoxide poisoning. There was just a gas leak in the bathroom. But it's funny because carbon monoxide, if you have a certain percentage in your blood, it cuts off your vision. Okay, so I was completely blind in the bathroom. And it's funny that this passage talks about it unveils, you can see. Because when I was spiritually blinded, like I actually became physically blind as well. And then when I was on that bathroom floor, I was literally just like unconscious on the floor. I remember one thought came to my head. This was when I was furthest away from God as I could be. Okay, it was like the prodigal son, pig's pen, you name it. And I just said, God, help me. Actually, I couldn't speak. I just thought it. And I remember literally the next moment, my eyes opened and I could see the black tile floor. And it was this thought came to my mind. I'm going to get out. It was completely supernatural. This was before I've ever experienced anything in the Holy Spirit. And I somehow made it out of the bathroom. And then roommates came, helped me. They went, rushed me to the hospital. I was in the ICU. And even the doctors were saying how you should have been permanently blind because of the amount of carbon monoxide in your blood. All this stuff, okay? So that was my first experience of God's supernatural hand on my life. And a first realization, okay, he's real. I need to seek him. And then I kind of backslid some more. Because I had no access to, like, hope. I wasn't connected in any community. I was still wandering around South America. I had no Christian friends, except in California. But I wasn't there. So I just did my own thing, right? So I just kept sliding back more. I was like, I don't know. I tried. And then I ended up in Korea, and that's when Jamie met up with me, and she brought me out to New Philly, and she was kind of saying, just a little forewarning. It's a little different from all the churches we grew up in California. And I was like, okay, maybe that's a good thing. So I go out, and then I remember they prayed for me. I already shared this. And then the two people I heard speak their or share their testimonies was actually Pastor Mina and Pastor Aaron. And if you know anything about their testimonies, like they, by the time I got to New Philly, they were already leaders and Pastor Aaron was pastor. And I was just like, how did they get to that place? How is that even possible if they have these stories in their past? How can they actually like be completely renewed and redeemed? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And that was the first time I ever could imagine or get a glimpse of the redemptive and transformative power of his grace, right? Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, no more condemnation. That's why the veil is gone. You can approach his throne boldly, right? And ask and draw near and receive that mercy. And I want to emphasize that, receive his mercy, receive his grace. Sometimes we're our own blockage to his grace. We think, oh, I've committed these sins, so I can't forgive myself. But if Christ has already forgiven you, then who are you to hold that back? Right? Who are you to hold back? Like, no, I can't forgive myself. He has already forgiven you, right? It's already there. All right, let's look at verse 18. Okay, let's all read it together on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Amen. All right. So, like I said, I want to emphasize wherever you are in your walk, be expectant. Okay. How? I'm going to touch on two things. Number one, by his Spirit. says, behold his glory. By his spirit we walk. Okay. In Luke 11:13, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? James 4:2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. Ask for him. Ask for him in whatever area of your life that you feel like, no, I can't break through. I can't go even further. Okay? Ask for that. Second thing, by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind and not conforming to this world. So if we're constantly being formed and we're constantly being changed, then what is forming you? Is it the world or is it the Word of God? Because it's one or another. Something's always influencing you, whether you know it or not. So what is it that is forming? Okay, what thoughts are forming in you? I don't know about you guys, but I am super, not to categorize, but I'm very melancholy in my mind. Okay, like this is my biggest battle continually, is to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Okay, like crazy thoughts come at us all the time because there's so much going on in the world. There's so many voices trying to speak into our lives. There's so many people. There's so many advertisements. There's so many things flooding our minds, right? So some thoughts, I don't know if you guys have these, like, oh, I'm just speaking from a third person, okay? like, oh, I suck. I can't do this. Oh, no one likes me. I'm so alone. Like, nobody understands me. Gosh, I'm doing life all by myself. All those people, they just looked at me weird. They're judging me. Right. Oh, I can't do this. So I might as well give up on it. Oh, I'm already late to this class, so I might as well not go. Oh, it's raining today. Work can wait. I'll just do it tomorrow. Okay, we like push back things. We just bring ourselves down, right? Our mind, it can be the greatest weapon that we have, but it can also be our biggest challenge. So how do you grasp hold of your mind, your thought processes? First of all, you got to know the word of God. It is the sword, right? It is your sword. When I first started, when I came back to the Lord, I had to write down verses and I had to post it all over my room. That was the only way that it was going to like drill into me. Things like what I just said, take captive all thoughts to make it obedient to Christ. So if I had any type of detrimental or depressing thought, I would go up to it, read it and be like, yep, take that captive. Done. Okay, I can move on now, right? Or I think a lot of times in our mind, we get tempted to think that we're still in sin or we're still like our old selves, that we haven't been renewed. And then you have to go back to it again. I'm a new creation. Christ has set me free, right? You have to continually get into the practice of your thoughts, your mind, how it's going, because it makes like patterns in your head. Yeah. Who's into psychology? Okay. Cool. I had this performance night that a couple of you guys came out to, and I was very loved. But in it, the actors and dancers at the college, we had to, we had this movement piece. We had this like movement piece, very abstract. We had these like chairs and tables and clothing items like tossed up. And basically the theme of it is metamorphosis, transformation. And it was this theme, the ever changing. It's constantly forming something. And so throughout this like really intense song, we're like building, we're taking the chairs apart, we're building something else, we're making a snake and caterpillar over here, and then we're like crawling through the chairs and building a little like teepee thing. It was really interesting, kind of abstract. And then on the sides, like all of us individually, we had to go out and do these little vignettes. And these were our personal takes on what transformation was to us personally. So we had to do this free write thing where we wrote down transformation. And then for 5 minutes, you couldn't let your pen leave the paper. You had to just keep writing. What do you think of transformation? Okay. And so for me, that was the whole the death to life transformation that I had. Literally on the floor to life, and then blind to seeing, darkness to light, right? And I had this image of this cocoon. Like we're in this cocoon and it's dark and you have to break through. You have to break out of it to get into that next level. And so this is really weird. So I was like on the floor in my movement piece and I'm like realizing I'm in this cocoon, I'm in this cave, and I can't get out. And so I'm pounding, I'm like frustrated, I can't get out by my own strength. And so I collapse, and then I realize around me in the darkness, there's like a sword, and there's a shield. And so there's the armor of God, but the two key things were the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And it's from these weapons, these tools, that I could actually pierce through and make war on the surrounding, and I had to cut through and then break free out of that. And so those are the two things that you need to, you know, make that a practice to take a hold of your thoughts. The shield of faith, believing things, believing what the word says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yeah. All right. I think I'm going really fast. So, we talked about Christ set us free. We're now, there's no veil. We can enter the throne of grace. Okay? There's no shame and condemnation. There's also no fear. I didn't touch on this, but I'm going to talk about this a little bit. Fear. Even fear of, I'm going to be thrust out of my comfort zone. Oh, God, what are you going to make me do? Oh, God, what are you going to ask me to sacrifice? You know, what fears, what thoughts, what worries are actually holding you back from entering more of his glory or asking for more of it? If you really knew him as a good God and you know that everything that he has for you is good and for a purpose, then you can freely let go of those things. You can freely trust in him, right? So whether you're like just coming back to the Lord, or whether you've been in the church for ages, or maybe you're a leader, I don't know, okay? What are you expectant for your life right now? What are you asking for? What are you waiting for? What are you hoping for? Is there anything at all that you're hoping for? So our retreat is coming up this weekend. And retreats are awesome. It's like this intensified place where God really meets us, right? And there's like this extra grace to just break through to the next level as a whole congregation. But I want to make sure nobody is going into this thinking, oh, it's just another retreat. Or, oh, it's just another yearly thing that we do. And then we're going to get all spiritually high. And then I'm going to come back and hit real life. And that's it. Okay. I want us to get this mindset like that's, even right now, what you're expecting, what you're asking for, what you're hoping for, it's not just for the retreat. It's for you. It's for you right now, and it's for you after the retreat. So maybe you're expecting to be refreshed. Maybe you're tired and weary from serving or leading, or you feel like you've hit a ceiling and you're like, yeah, I know everything. I got this. You know, maybe you have never experienced him and you are hoping for a final, like a revelation of who he is, of who Jesus is to you. Maybe you are totally good in your life and you're just chillaxing and you're like, yep, I'm good. I don't need anything. Okay. Maybe you need to stir up hunger because we're all made and created with this innate longing for God. So if that longing isn't there, then something has numbed it, right? Something else has filled it. Maybe you're stuck in that chain. You're the one that I kind of like described about holding on to those chains. And you want that breakthrough. You want that freedom for the first time. Whatever it is, there's so much more in store for you. There's so much in store for you. Is that exciting? This isn't just for like ministers. I mean, we're all called to be ministers. We're not just living this life, just walking through it step by step, waiting to get to heaven. You know, if that were the case, if we're just waiting for heaven, like why not get taken up right when we get saved? But there's a reason why we're still here, right? We're transforming with this ever increasing glory. We're transforming into the image of Christ. We're being a light into this world. Like whether you're in the marketplace, whether it's in your workplaces or your families, it's not just in the church that you become a minister of God and that you actually take on his image, you know? I'm just going to read the verse one more time. In 2 Corinthians 3:18. Actually, why don't you all just close your eyes? I'm going to read this verse again. And I feel like somewhere along this message, maybe, hopefully, there's something that was highlighted to you. Maybe it was a word. Maybe it was a feeling, a thought. Whether it's a sin pattern, whether it's complacency, whether it's fear, whether it's uncertainty, there's something that stood out. Hopefully. And I want, as I read this, I want you to imagine turning to the Lord and giving it to him, letting him transform that, letting him transform you. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. As a church, I just want us to pray into what are you expecting for? This can be your personal thing. What are you expecting for at the retreat? What is something that you are hoping for? Okay, and as the band comes up, I want us to all just pray into it. Okay, I want you to actually verbalize, say out loud, one thing that God has maybe putting on your heart to ask him for. Ask of him. The transformative power of His grace is for you. Whether you are just coming back to the Lord, whether you're coming to church every Sunday, whether you just became a leader, or whether you've been serving for years and years, there is more in store for you. There is no "I can't" in the vocabulary of the Lord. And we are changing every day into His image as we behold His glory. Do not fear the glory of the Lord. Behold His glory. It's as we behold His glory, we are transformed and we are changed. And when we behold His glory, that's when we receive His grace. That's when we are able to stand in His presence and know that His grace is for us.